1-800-GO-BIBLE today. The CTU campus is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for allowing me to come before your presence on today. This is Let's Face the Issues, and this is Brother Davis sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. Certainly, I want to thank God for TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. Amen. Thank God it's Friday. I thank God that he allowed us to be able to make it all the way through this week and to be able to see another Friday. Now, we're down just about to the end of this month, the 8th month of the year, and we still yet don't know what we're going to face in the coming up days. We have the election for president coming up in the month of November, and certainly, as Brother Jim said in his response a little bit earlier, we ought to vet the candidate, know it, who it is that we are voting for. And again, Donald Trump is not an angel. I want you to know that. We don't think he's such a perfect person. The Republicans are not perfect people. The Democrats are not perfect people. The independents are not perfect people. But what we have to know and understand as people in general, and especially as Christians, who it is we are voting for. What do they stand for? Which platform comes closely or more closely to the Word of God, the way that God would have us to act, the way that the Word of God would have us to live, and how we treat one another? Which one of those platforms comes in more closer to the Word of God? This is what we have to do on today. Which candidate, again, comes more closely to obeying what the Word of God says and are going to do what needs to be done for the good of the American people? Again, we need to know all of these things. 904-831-0917. That call will get you through the studio right to our microphones so that we can entertain your questions or comments. Certainly, again, we're talking about the Christian response to the world today. How should we live? How should we act? What shall we do as Christians? We talked about the legalization of marijuana, how they are trying to push that through on the ballots, and very soon it's going to be legal in all 50 states if they are let to have their way. And I'm talking about the politicians, those who wish to do so. And I don't know about you, but listen, we have to know and understand, when it comes down to marijuana, what will it do to the family? What will it do to our children? What does the Bible say about drug use? Now listen, the Christian view of the use of marijuana, whether considered for medicinal purposes or for recreational use, should be viewed through the lens of Scripture. Recreational marijuana use has been decisively rejected by Christians because of its psychoactive properties and tendencies to perpetrate a lethargic and selfish lifestyle. Listen, my friend, if you have not experienced that before, it may not be something that you want to get yourself entangled with. Even when it comes down to alcohol itself, alcohol, I'm talking about beer, wine, whiskey, so forth and so on, it's a controlled substance right now. But look at the damage that alcohol has caused in our society and in the world today. Drunk drivers are killing people out on the streets. Many families are in disarray because either the husband or the wife, and many times the children, get caught up in alcohol abuse. Too much of anything is no good for you, but we have to understand that with some people, there is a zero tolerance of anything foreign that comes into contact with their system. What I'm trying to say on today, and I know some, if they drink one or two sips, you have to put them in the car and take them home. They can't walk, they can't talk, they have no control over themselves. But I know some people that can drink a 55-gallon drum full and turn around and laugh at you all day long like it had no effect on their bodies. So it affects different people in different ways. But what I'm trying to say as a Christian, I'm not okaying it for you. I'm not signing off for you to take your toddy or for you to say, oh, it's the holiday, everybody has a sociable drink. God says we need to abstain from the very appearance of evil. Anything that will take us in that direction, anything that will put our minds in disarray so that we cannot make the right judgment call at the right time, what we should do in order to alleviate matters, problems, and situations that we are facing, certainly we should not get ourselves entangled with that. Listen, for those who like to be technical, the Bible doesn't mention vaping, smoking, or tobacco, so there's some debate over whether vaping is a sin. Listen, if vaping causes your mind to be in disarray so that you can't make the right decision, it begins to make you act like somebody, all unseemly, it makes you lose control of yourself, then certainly you need to avoid that at all costs. Based on what the Bible says about addiction, health, and indulgence, there's good evidence that vaping could be considered a sin as well as smoking. I just saw a sign in a store a few days ago over the cigarette shelf that said, it is now a federal law that the tobacco industry must post a warning to all smokers that the industry has included enough nicotine in cigarettes to addict anyone who smokes. So listen, no wonder you see, and I know some that are what's called a chain smoker. Before they can finish smoking one, they pull out a new one and light it with the old one and keep smoking. Some people smoke packs and packs and packs of cigarettes a day. They have become addicted to the nicotine. This is what happened in the olden days, back in the 60s and in the 50s, so forth and so on. But the truth had to come to the light on that. This is why so many died from the effects of cancer and other things connected with smoking, because the nicotine content that was in the product was so high until it addicted those people and they could not stop to save their lives. Listen, there might be a level of success that you might accomplish if you decide to stop smoking, but I know some that have stopped and have gone back. And sometimes when they go back the second time, the second go round is worse than the first. So listen, we're trying to tell you as a Christian today, avoid it at all costs. Though there are no official canonical prohibitions regarding the use of tobacco, the more traditional among the Eastern Orthodox churches forbid their clergy to smoke, and the laity are strongly encouraged to give up this habit if they are subject to it. So listen, now, I have been to churches where when the pastor get finished preaching, he'll step out the side door and smoke a cigarette. Well, I'm not here to try to judge anyone or condemn them either. God didn't tell me to do that. But the Bible does say that you will tell the tree by the fruit it bears. We need to be bearing good fruit at all times. If we are out there partaking and promoting things that are contrary to the word of God, how shall we stand before them as ministers of God and preach and teach them about righteousness if we're not doing right ourselves? You have heard me say it at the beginning of the broadcast. Jesus warned against that. He said, if the blind lead the blind, both of them shall fall into the ditch. And I can tell you this, my friend, I'm not headed for the ditch. I'm headed for heaven. And that's not something that I want to get myself tangled up with. Listen, in many ways, cannabis is just like alcohol. Number one, here's what I got in my notes. Cannabis, like alcohol, is an organic substance. Number two, cannabis, like alcohol, has the potential to intoxicate and distort reality. Number three, cannabis, like alcohol, has different effects on someone who uses it regularly than someone who uses it occasionally. In other words, the tolerances, you heard me say that earlier, can be built up with regular marijuana use, similar to the tolerances that can be built up with regular alcohol use. And then number four, cannabis, like alcohol, can be habit forming. Listen, we're trying to tell you, any habit that you have in your life on today, Jesus is a habit breaker. I don't care what it is that you got yourself entangled up with on today. I'm trying to tell you the Christian response to each and every one of these things is Jesus Christ and his shed blood that he shed for us out on Calvary's cross. God is glorious beyond measure, and Christians seek to experience the reality of his glory for the sake of his glory. Sin has distorted our vision and corrupted our world ever since sin first entered the world. All of us have been born spiritually dead and unable to observe the true glory of God. So listen, again, when it comes down to the Christian response and those who are in positions of authority, those who are promoting, approving the war against Israel, some say that the United States shouldn't support Israel. Well, let me tell you something. God said, when he told us in the book of Genesis chapter 12, and he's talking about Abraham, and when we look at it, Abraham represents the nation of Israel. Whoever blesses Abraham, God will bless you. And whoever curses Abraham, God will curse you. And I believe for so many years now, the United States of America has been one of the closest allies to the nation of Israel. So listen, Israel, just like anyone else, certainly has a right to defend itself. When we look at what Ahmadinejad, I believe that's what his name is, that president over there, I believe in Iran or one of those countries over there, and I certainly know somebody said one of the presidents or the leaders from the country of Colombia, over in Colombia, said a few years ago that they were going to wipe Israel off the map. Well, let me tell you something. If that happens, when they come against Israel, if we have never seen the God of heaven before, we're going to see him in that day. Because the Bible says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. So when we look at anyone that comes against the nation of Israel, what you're getting ready to do is entangle yourself in a fight with the true God, God Almighty himself. So certainly, as allies of Israel, we certainly need to stand with them, stand for them. The Bible says, pray for the peace of Israel. Pray that peace be within thy palaces and prosperity be within thy gates. This is what we need to do wholeheartedly as Christians on today. And again, let me tell you, no matter what kind of trouble we are facing on today, if you're not praying, if you're not reading the Word of God, if you don't know what the Word of God says within itself, then you are living beneath your privileges. So certainly it's time for us as Christians on today to stand up, speak up for what we know is right, because the Word of God is right, and it's right all by itself. 904-831-0917. That call to get you to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions or comments. Getting back to what we were talking about, how Christians should vote for president, we should be informed, we should vet the candidate, and we should vote for people who believe in God. And again, getting back to what I said earlier at the beginning of the broadcast, speaking on this question or on this subject, run for office yourself. You should run for the school board, city council, county commission on a local level. And if you feel and if you so desire, run for it on the state level and then run for it on the national level. Why? We need Christians in these positions of authority to change the way that some of these degenerates have things going. The only way that we're going to change these things, again, is to get Christian people with the right values in the right place so that we can change the direction that this country is going. Listen, when we look at Satan being the god of this world, the small g, God, because listen, God, our God, I'm talking about God Almighty, is sovereign. He still has all power in his hands, and Satan is on a leash. He's got him on a leash. He can't go but so far. He has to do what God allows him to do. In other words, when he does things, he has to get permission from God. And listen, we have to know that if God allows Satan to touch us in some kind of way, he doesn't allow Satan to destroy us, but certainly these things can come as a form of chastisement because we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not living like we're supposed to be living. We're not praying like we're supposed to be praying. And God has to allow trouble to come in our lives. But listen, I'm so glad today that trouble don't last always. And because we serve a God who sits high and looks low and has got all power, I said all power, in his hands on today, I know I can trust and believe in him. Because Titus chapter 1, verse 2, when you go to the middle of that verse, it says God cannot lie. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 6, somewhere around verse 17 and 18, it says by two immutable things, it's impossible for God to lie. So listen, my friend, you need to be encouraged by that. I feel good already. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because my God cannot lie. It's impossible for him to lie. And I'm trusting and depending on him because I know he said in his word, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So listen, my friend, we have a helper on today. We have Jesus Christ the righteous. He is our advocate. And the Bible says, even if we do wrong, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us for our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let him clean you up today. And then we can start going in the right direction. 904-831-0917. That call gets to the studio, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your questions or comment. Getting back to the phrase, the small g, God of this world. Or God of this age. It indicates that Satan is the major influence on the ideals, opinions, goals, hopes, and views of the majority of the people. Did you get that? So that means those politicians that are trying to push through ungodly laws based on ungodly values. Satan is influencing the ideals. Huh? That's the end goal. The opinions, the goals, what they hope to accomplish, the hopes, you know, the things that they want to change, how they want to see the world in a different way, how they're trying to make this a communist country, basically. How they're trying to instill Marxism into our country. Listen, you have to understand that's the direction that we are headed today if God doesn't step in. But we can do something about that as Christians on today. Amen. But it says here, the views of the majority of the people, the majority of the world is against God. And listen, I've seen many surveys, and it's sad to say, in a lot of those surveys, Christians are leading the world in the wrong way. There are a lot of Christians that indulge in pornography. There are a lot of Christians that indulge in alcohol and prescription drugs. So many are caught up, and they think it's okay. Some say, oh, I just got a bad habit, but I just told you a little bit earlier, Jesus is a habit breaker. He'll break that habit if you give it over to him. Listen, you can't give it and take it back. You have to cast your cares and your burdens upon the Lord, because the Bible says he will sustain you. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. So listen, trust him on today. Listen, this is what else Satan does. His influence also encompasses the world's philosophies, education, and commerce. Listen, all these bright ideas, all this information that they call right, which is wrong, they're mutilating children today, telling the little boys that if you feel like a girl, you can be a girl. And we can give you the parts that'll make you a girl. They're telling the little girls, if you feel like a boy, we can change you over into a boy. What you're really saying is, God, I'm not pleased with who you made me to be. My Bible tells me when God made man, he made them male and female. There is no in between. So we have to know, in other words, on today, when we look at the LGBTQ community, God did not make them that way. That's a lifestyle choice. You chose to be like that. So this is the reason why you're living like that. But listen, God can deliver you from that too, because the scripture says, the apostle Paul said, the effeminate, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And he went down further in that chapter and said, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified. You've been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. So listen, this tells me God has got the power to change you, my friend. No matter what's going on in your life, give it over to Jesus. He is able to work it out for you. Amen? Listen, goes on further to say about Satan. Even though scripture says that he is the prince of the power of the air, it signifies that in some way, he rules over the world and the people in it. This is not to say that he rules the world completely, for God is still sovereign. He's still in control. And this is the reason why I don't lose heart. I understand that we're going to face many things in life, many things that we've never seen before. The Bible says that but for us, that's still less than 100 years old, things happen a few hundred years back in the 1940s, in the 1930s, in the 1800s, in the 1700s, at the first beginning of this country, by the founding fathers. Many things have happened that we've never seen before in our lives, but that doesn't say that it's brand new. Nothing catches God by surprise. Coronavirus did not catch God by surprise. It's nothing new. It's just a new name, how we identify what it is today. But I'm sure that it's happened in the past ages, because the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So listen, regardless of that, God doesn't need a coronavirus shot, or he doesn't need any other thing. But if we simply trust in God, whatever the situation might be, even when it comes down to healing us from a debilitating disease, God is able. How many of y'all know our God is able? He is the one that will fight for us. Listen, you look at Satan, it means that when we look at God in his infinite wisdom, He has allowed Satan to operate in this world within the boundaries God has set for him. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, you heard me talk about that earlier, the unbelievers follow Satan's agenda. Philosophies are the fortresses in which people are imprisoned, and they must be set free by Christ. An example of one such false philosophy is the unbelief that man can earn God's favor by his certain act or acts. In other words, man thinks, man's philosophy teaches him that he can earn salvation. That's a lie. Because when we look at the scripture, in almost every false religion, meriting God's favor or earning eternal life is a predominant thing. Earning salvation by works, however, is contrary to biblical revelation. Man cannot work to earn God's favor. Eternal life is a free gift, Ephesians 2:8-9. And that free gift is available through Jesus Christ and him alone, John 3:16, John 14:6. So why doesn't mankind simply receive the free gift of salvation? John 1:12. The answer is that Satan, the god of this world, has tempted mankind to follow his pride instead. Satan sets the agenda, the unbelieving world follows, and mankind continues to be deceived. No wonder that scripture calls Satan a liar, John 8:4. So certainly, my friend, when we look at the Christian response, what should we do? How should we live? How should we act? How should we treat one another? The scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So who are you living for today? Are you living for Christ? Are you living for Satan? Are you living to accomplish your own agenda? Listen, unless your life is rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus, my friend, you will never be able to stand. Lastly, it implies that world affairs, the aggregate of things earthly, the whole circle of earthly goods, endowments, riches, advantages, pleasures, etc., etc., are hollow and frail and fleeting, and they stir desire and seduce one from following God, and they are obstacles to the cause of Christ. Certainly, my friend, I do want to tell you on today, don't get yourself caught up entanglements of this world. Certainly, this old world is passing away, but those who live for Christ Jesus, they are certainly going to be able to abide, because God told us in his holy word that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's all the time we have. Certainly we enjoyed you being in your presence on today. This is Brother David saying, be salt, be light, and be blessed. Until we meet again by way of Let's Face the Issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1